My name is Micker Samios. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and my major is nursing. My honors project is called Transitioning Children with Cystic Fibrosis to Independent Care. I worked with Diane York. She's an assistant clinical professor at UNC School of Nursing, and she's the best mentor I could have possibly ever asked for. Together with Diane and the nurses at UNC Health System, I created a coloring and activity book titled My Book of Medicines for Cystic Fibrosis. Many health systems already have in place a plethora of educational materials to help adolescents and into 20s begin their independent self-care process. The major gap in this education is the 5 to 8 year old range, when the children are just getting an introduction to the material, some of the common terms that they're going to hear. When I was trying to design the book and think of ways to explain things like bronchodilation to children, it wasn't until I was talking with the kids about these that I realized they had the best analogies that I could ever come up with. They're the inspiration for how I created the book, the words I used and the analogies I used. Sometimes a child's way of thinking is often better than our own. A child spit a spitball at me, and he told me that that was what the inhaler did. It pushed the spitball out of the straw on his air. I had the privilege to work with the education coordinators at UNC, and they've helped me to redefine some of the terminology I used in the book, modify it so that it will be published and used in the health system.
My name is Zachary Vance. I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm a senior geology major. The piece of obsidian in my hand was taken from Obsidian Dome, California. I used something like it in my research as an undergraduate under Dr. Alan Glazner, trying to determine its composition in order to more fully understand how volcanoes can erupt, their explosivity, and what lavas are actually like. By looking into the past, we can better understand the future. That's my motto for geology, at least. And it's just like history. Maybe we won't repeat our mistakes by understanding the science of geology. Specifically, we're trying to understand how the mechanisms that drive eruptions and what they might look like and do look like, because they've happened many times over geologic history. So the focus of this research was trying to understand, or better, a technique for understanding what those lavas might look like. The image seen here is of a piece of synthesized glass, which was synthesized at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Science under Curator of Geology Dr. Tacker. The round object in the upper left-hand corner is a exsolving water bubble from the melt. The lighter crystals are alkali feldspar crystals, which are a common mineral formed during eruption. And the plain gray is glass, which I analyzed. As a geologist, I can't say I have a favorite part of North Carolina, because every single part of North Carolina tells a different story. And knowing them all is cool.
My name is Leticia Brandon. I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm an international studies major with a concentration in global health and a minor in social and economic justice. The title of my undergraduate research project was the Native American Healthy Eating Project under Professor Sheila Flashhacker, who is a postdoctoral fellow in the Carolina Population Center, working with the School of Public Health. During my undergraduate research project, some team members visited various Native American communities such as Robeson County and Pembroke. During these visits, they talked with tribal leaders to figure out solutions for the obesity prevalence among their communities, and this sort of brought together the importance of fruits and vegetables within the communities, and some possible solutions that arose were community gardens and farmers markets. As my undergraduate research project was funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, each of the tribes that participated from the list gathered in North Carolina would receive around about $1,000 in order to implement healthy eating strategies such as the community gardens and farmers market.
My name is Glenn McLaurin. I'm a junior public policy major from Garner, North Carolina. Research is titled, Does Economic Distress Affect a County's Economic Development Policies? My advisor is Dr. Nicola Lowe in the City and Regional Planning Department here at UNC, as well as Dr. Marianne Feldman in the Department of Public Policy. So the concentration of the project was entirely North Carolina counties. In the past, there have been numerous studies of state-level economic development incentives and their effectiveness, but nothing has quite been conducted in such detail at the county and local level. We primarily, for the past semester, worked in eastern North Carolina and in central North Carolina. The research that I just presented at the Research in the Capital Symposium was a presentation of findings from a comparative case study of two counties, one being a county in eastern North Carolina that's faced higher levels of economic distress and a relatively more prosperous metropolitan county in central North Carolina. I've been able to just find extremely helpful and supportive mentors in both the City and Regional Planning Department and the Department of Public Policy, and they have shaped this experience into one that has been extremely rewarding.
I'm Kavya Shekhar. I'm from Durham, North Carolina. The title of my research was Biocultural Influences on Infant Feeding Among African American Mothers. My project mentor was Amanda Thompson from the Anthropology Department, and we used data on 220 mothers in Durham, Orange, and Wake County in North Carolina. And all these mothers were low income and WIC eligible and 185% below the poverty line. So the subject matter is looking at sort of the sociocultural and somewhat biological influences on infant feeding decisions that low-income African-American mothers make when feeding their infants. One of the problems is that most women in the U.S. don't abide by the recommendations made by the American Pediatric Association to breastfeed their infants for 6 months. This is important because infants who are breastfed for an optimal duration are more less likely to have allergies, less likely to have diabetes later in life, less likely to have obesity, and so it's good for long-term health outcomes. But unfortunately, low-income African-American mothers have some of the lowest rates of breastfeeding in the country, so we want to look at, well, why is this phenomenon occurring? What are the reasons? And so we explored a variety of beliefs and possible influences, like whether mom's working, whether she's married, whether she's older or younger, to sort of see in this population what's affecting the infant feeding outcomes.
I'm Eva Archer. I'm from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and I'm a junior majoring in chemistry. The title of my project is The Structure of the RNA Genome of the Satellite Tobacco Mosaic Virus. I'm working with Dr. Kevin Weeks in the chemistry department. With RNA and with a lot of biological molecules, the structure of them determines their functions. If you can figure out essentially how the RNA, that it looks inside the virus, you can actually figure out parts of how it works. So maybe there's one region of it that you figure out is responsible for its replication. But in order to be able to maybe interfere with that in an antiviral therapy, you have to know how it looks, what the three-dimensional shape of it is, in order to maybe design a molecule that can interfere in that space. And so the technology that the lab is working with is trying to figure out, given what we call a primary sequence of RNA, A, U, G, G, C, how that looks in two- and three-dimensional space, because that in turn can help you figure out what kind of antiviral therapy to use. I approached Dr. Weeks and asked if I could work in his research lab. We started working on the satellite tobacco mosaic virus project. And it's an interesting project because he has exclusively undergraduates working on it. There are other graduate students in the department who have helped train me, help assist me. I can go to them when I have questions, but it really is a project that's owned by undergraduates. So I'm primarily the one working on this right now. And the structure of the virus was not really known until then. So we actually are doing original research. If we publish a structure, it will be the version that we did. We're not replicating someone else's experiments. And so that's been really valuable to get the chance to do my own primary research.